Let's have the discussion. You're listening to Canter with Scott and Adam.
Hello and welcome to Canter. My name is Adam, and this week we sat down with Kees of BioTabs. In this episode, we cover the basics of organic cultivation, including the difference between organics and traditional salt-based fertilizers, microbes, and what products BioTabs is using in their organic nutrient lineup. We hope you enjoy this episode of Canter. Let's get into it.
I've got Adam here with me today. How you doing, Adam?
Yeah, all right, yourself, mate?
Yeah, going well, bud. And very, very happy to have Kees join us from the Netherlands. And Kees, you're representing BioTabs. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on board and joining us for a chat, mate. Welcome.
Yeah, awesome to be chatting with you guys all around the other side of the world. Happy for that you want to have me on your show.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to have you, and we really appreciate you giving up your time. So thank you for that, mate. Kees, tell us a bit about BioTabs. I mentioned BioTabs. Tell us about BioTabs and tell us about yourself and what you're all about, mate.
Yeah, cool. BioTabs is actually the is a company that makes organic fertilizers, and it was actually founded by my dad like 8 years ago. And I'm involved 6 years now, so almost from the beginning. And what we do is we make organic fertilizers that not feed your plant, but feed the soil, and then the soil will feed your plant. So we're trying to have a little bit of a different approach to the growing. And we try to use natural elements to make your plant thrive instead of mineral or chemically produced products. And yeah, we've been doing it for quite a while now with quite some success. And yeah, people are starting to appreciate the organic lifestyle and the organic products more and more. So we're really happy with that. And yeah, if I can tell you why organic growing is such an important thing to do as well, besides of not that's only important, but why it's so important in comparison with chemical or mineral growing. You can say that like chemical and mineral growing, first of all, the production of the product is already quite leaving a footprint on the world. You can imagine making synthetic chemical products, yeah, leaves a lot of residues, not only in the air, but also during the production process. Then when you use these chemical or mineral nutrients in the soil, you're actually degrading the soil. And it, of course, you won't notice it when you are growing because your plants are looking great and everything is going well. But the salts that are contained into these products are building up in the soil. And when the soil is full of salts, of all these built-up salts after years, because this takes a couple of years or after a couple of like 10 times growing in the same soil, then the soil will be impure, let's say, and can't be used anymore. So this is a very bad thing of a chemical and mineral growing. And also, I am not stressed about this, because the only way to revitalize soil that's contaminated with salts or other bad things, the only way to revitalize the soil is using organic products. So it's a matter of time that everybody will have to switch to organic products, because this is the only way we can maintain our soil in the way she is right now. Also, maybe a fun little fact is that the soil on the whole planet Earth that is usable for agricultural goals, let's say, is just 25% or even 20% of the world's surface is only usable for agricultural purposes. So you can imagine if we are devouring or making this little precious soil what we have contaminated with salts and other bad things. Yeah, this will mean in the future we won't have enough clean soil for us to maintain ourselves healthy, let's say, to create enough products to consume, vegetables, all the things keeping people alive, let's say. So that's why I think the mineral growing or the agricultural industry with the heavy fertilizers and other stuff won't survive that long, because we will have to switch to the organic style of growing in the future for sure. So the future is positive for us. And let's see what will happen.
Yeah, that's cool. So you mentioned the agricultural and the environmental conservation aspects of organic growing, which is really positive. What about the product? What about the plant that you're growing? Do you notice any differences in the product itself?
Yeah, man, that's a very good bridge. Also, the big differences between mineral growing and organic growing is, with organic growing, you are trying to create a soil life. You are creating a soil life. And with the soil life, the plant will more or less be self-sustainable. She will decide which direction the bacteria or the soil life have to go to make sure she is healthy. With mineral growing, you have to know which product you have to add at what time. So you can imagine you need to know very specific what product, let's say nitrogen, potassium, or kalium, these three, the main NPK ones, which one they need at what moment. So when you are a mineral grower, there is a high chance that you don't know which product the plant needs at what moment. And there is a chance you are going to add the wrong product. Let's say like in the grow, the plant needs lots of nitrogen. When you are growing a mineral, you can add nitrogen from the beginning. This will help your plant. But if you are doing this in the organic way, you are building a soil that has certain bacteria present in the soil. And the plant, when the plant needs nitrogen, she will release sugars outside of her roots that will attract bacteria that will eat these sugars and that will produce nitrogen-rich manure for the plant to uptake. So this is a very important difference. So when you're mineral growing, you need to know when to add what. But when you are organic growing, you can just make sure everything is present in the soil, and then the plant will decide by the sugars which bacteria she will attract, and these bacteria will produce the right soil, nutrients that the plant needs at that time. So this is already a super big difference that the plant already knows what to do. Besides that, what can also happen, the bacteria, they act like a warehouse. How would you say it? So the bacteria eat certain other organic materials that the plant can't uptake directly. But the bacteria, she uptakes this and stores this nutrients in the stomach. And the moment another bacteria eats this bacteria with this nutrient stored in the stomach, the other bacteria will shit this bacteria out with the nitrogen that was in the stomach of the first bacteria. So you can imagine these kinds of results, that bacteria are eating each other, shitting out different kinds of bacteria manure that is good for that plant at that moment. This is, of course, impossible to reach with a chemical or mineral feeding, because it's just one-sided, let's say. It has just one component in this liquid. Whilst comparison to the soil, the soil will provide the plant with the right amount of nutrients. Am I talking too much?
No, that's cool. That's really cool. I think that's really interesting, and I think we'll get into that a bit deeper shortly. That's really cool. So I guess one thing that I've noticed, you're recording from Dutch Passion's offices at the moment. And those guys actually put me onto the BioTabs product when I was there once. I think Mark Mould gave me your starter box, the BioTabs starter kit.
Have you tried it?
Yeah, man. And one thing that stands out to me is the ease of use. I really love that. I find it, particularly for like a beginner grower or somebody that's time poor, I really value that ease of use. Like once you've prepared your medium or your soil, it's relatively easy to run. So can you tell us a bit about, are you trying to target it as an easy system?
Yeah, for sure. Because Yeah, man, it goes hand in hand with the organic lifestyle, because who wants a difficult lifestyle that has to, where you have to control, we have to check a lot. That's not handy, of course. So what we try to make a system that is indeed user friendly to use, and for each quality of grower, let's say, indeed for the beginner or for the professional. And we have started with 5 products. Now, the starter pack you have tried has 5 products. We have the StarTrax, we have the OrgaTrax, we have the BarkTrax, we have the MicroTrax, and we have the BioTabs. We have 5 products that will create a soil life, and then afterwards, with the same 5 products, will stimulate the soil life to thrive, let's say. So first of all, we add the StarTrax and the MicroTrax to the soil. You can see the StarTrax is like a very concentrated compost that will get released quite fast. So that, because that happens a lot with organic growing, that it takes some time for the bacteria to consume the organic material, to shit out, and before the plant can uptake this, it takes a couple of days to weeks. So that's why we have added the StarTrax, to make sure that from the beginning there is compost available for the plant. Then we add the MicroTrax. These are actually mycorrhizae spores. I'm not sure if you know them, but I think many weed growers are familiar with them. These are fungi spores that live in the soil and work together with the roots, transplanting nutrients and water from places the roots can't reach. The mycorrhizae, mycelium spores will help the root, making sure they can reach these nutrients or this water where they normally can't reach. So this is a very, very important product to use when you are growing organic, because it really, really stimulates your root growth, and the mycorrhizae really work well together, transplanting the nutrients, and the roots also give sugars to the mycorrhizae to make sure they thrive better. So it goes both ways. These are the two products that are mixed in the soil. Then you put in the plant and you add a BioTab, and the BioTab is more or less the base where it's all where all the products are built around. And the BioTab is just a compressed tablet containing various strains of bacteria, containing organic material as powder of blood, powder of bones, and powder of feathers. And then you can see it like this, these are the 3 dry elements in the soil. And then we're going to make sure that all these bacteria and all these organic materials are going to start being active. We activate it with water. Together in this water, we mix it a little bit with the BarkTrax. This is another product that are trichoderma bacteria that are very, very interesting as well. Because these bacteria are so big, when you look at under them under the microscope, they are so big that when they are present in your soil, there is almost no room left for pathogen bacteria to colonize the soil anymore. So that's why it's quite important that they are present as well. The trichoderma bacteria get eaten by other bacteria, so you need to top up after a couple of weeks these bacteria as well. But then in the water as well, together with the BarkTrax, goes a little bit of OrgaTrax. And the OrgaTrax is like concentrated molasses, like sugars, that will, in essence, feed the bacteria. So what we have done with these 5 products, the base is the BioTab, containing some bacteria and organic material. The other products are also more or less organic materials. And what happens, the bacteria are going to eat the organic materials. The organic materials is like, yeah, the food for the bacteria. And when the food is in the stomach of the bacteria, it is safe as a warehouse, let's say. It's locked in there. And the moment that the plant needs those nutrients, she will call up the bacteria with those sugars from the roots. So that's what we are trying to do, let's say, with the BioTabs.
That's really cool.
More or less, creating a self-sustainable plant that you only need to add water. I forgot, this is very important. So when all of this is present in the soil, you only need to add water.
Yeah, that's so, the beautiful thing, because you're making a soil, I guess a biosphere.
A super
soil, and it's like its own ecosystem, and you're just making something that becomes its own healthy, thriving ecosystem that just needs to be maintained.
Yeah.
Really cool. Exactly. Yeah.
Talking about microbes, I'd just like to touch on like the most common microbes that some novice growers should know about, you know.
Yeah, that's the one I've talked about. The one for me that are very important are the trichodermas. And what the ones that are also very interesting, I think, but that are not in a product of us is the EM bacteria and the Bokashi ones. These are very interesting. But the ones that I can name by the one I can name by name is indeed the trichoderma one. And besides that, they are so big in the soil that they can't, they don't allow pathogens to enter the soil. What's also cool about the trichoderma bacteria is you can see the trichoderma bacteria are like worker bacteria for the other bacteria. So let's say the other bacteria in the soil that are present, they can't consume certain organic materials. But the trichoderma bacteria will consume this organic material and then make it available for the and this is more this happens more when you are using a compost tea, let's say. When you're using compost tea, you're adding so many bacteria that the ones that are present in the compost tea that they can't consume certain that are present already, and then the trichoderma bacteria make sure that the other bacteria can consume it. So that's why also the trichoderma is very important to have present in your soil as well. What is also cool about the trichoderma bacteria, or all bacteria actually, it's the same as weed. They can, they're still being discovered new strains with different beneficial properties for the plant. So this realm of discovering beneficial bacteria is a quest that will never stop. And there's also a big, big difference between mineral growing and organic growing. Mineral growing is like it's everything is invented what can be invented, more or less. And whilst with organic growing, because of creatures eating each other, new and multiplying, new stuff will evolve. And this is why the organic market or growing thing can. There is so much room for explosion still, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
For explosion in the better way. Right?
That's really cool. That is really cool. You mentioned Bactrex that you reapply. I think one thing for our listeners that would be, I guess, vital for them to understand is that these bacterial colonies in the soil, they have populations in each variety, each strain of bacteria. They're competing. So these populations are constantly evolving. The population numbers within one strain of bacteria are going up or are going down. So is the concept of adding this Bactrex repeatedly by a schedule to try and reset that colony population?
Yeah. And that's more or less also the bottleneck or the hard thing of organic growing. When do you know that the bacteria colonization has gone down?
Yeah.
When do you notice this? This is hard to discover. And of course, this is of experience, yellowing leaves and that kind of stuff. But exactly knowing when the population has gone down, at this moment there is no scientific way that you can really see it at the moment. You can only test. You can make soil samples, of course. But when you have the results back, there is not much you can do because you should have done it from the beginning. That's maybe only a little thing that can be hard with the organic growing. You have to do it from the beginning right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you want to, that's one of the maybe a little bit down points from the organic growing, that it's hard. It's a little bit harder to adjust, let's say, because you have to make sure that everything is present from the soil so that it can populate quite well. But this is also a learning curve of trial and error. I think this learning curve is faster and easier to master than a mineral growing that you are working with very precise amounts and precise amounts of acid that you have to put in your water, making sure, you know, build-ups in the soil that can happen. That's also a thing to go back to the difference. Mineral growing, you need to be precise. You need to be exact. organic growing is a bit loose. When we always say, don't panic, it's organic. You know, it will work out. You will have a good yield anyway. But that's the next step when you are into organic growing, mastering the skill, knowing your plant, but knowing your soil when she needs her extra little boost, let's say. But what you can know for when you say like, oh, when do I need to top up my bacteria? There is a little bit known. I'm not sure. I don't know it at the moment, but I could look it up. That there is like a certain lifespan of bacteria, of course. I'm not sure with the Trichoderma bacteria, but we have said that after 4 weeks, it's advised to top up, let's say. Not only because the population has gone down, it's also because the root system has grown so big in the soil that there is actually more bacteria that can be helped out, making sure there is enough food for them to be taken by the trichodermas and made available for the other bacteria to make sure the rest of the root system also can thrive as good as before, let's say.
Yeah, that's cool. So could you tell us, do we know much about the outside or environmental factors that a grower may sort of impose on these bacterial colonies? Are there things that a grower does that will kill off the bacterial colonies? Are there things that the grower does that could promote these bacterial colonies? What factors influence them?
Yeah. A big misunderstanding what happens a lot is that people are using organic products or organic base as a soil. And then the flowering comes and they are impatient and they say, how do I get this flower fatter? And then they start adding mineral nutrients. And the effect of this can be that indeed your plant or your bud will get bigger, but you are contradicting yourself. You are trying to create a live soil. You're trying to be precious on your soil, and then you are throwing mineral feeding on it. And then what I forget to say is mineral feeding or acid-like feeding nutrients will kill soil life. It will fatten your bud, but it will kill most of the soil life that you have tried to create to get the plant where she is right now. And then you're finally happy with the result you have, only not enough. Then you are starting to add minerals or chemical nutrients to make sure she becomes fatter. Yeah, and then you can say the work you have done before to make sure you have a healthy soil and a healthy plant is thrown out of the window by throwing heavy minerals or heavy chemical nutrients on top of this soil to make sure you have a little bit of a fatter flower.
Yeah, okay. I'd just like to touch on, you're talking about mineral-based salts and all that. And when people start growing, they're going to learn about pH and EC and why they should check it and why it's important. And, you know, some organic growers will pH and some don't. I'd just like for you to clarify why it's not necessary, not necessarily as important, or why you shouldn't.
You made a perfect bridge for me that I should have thought before, because also a very important part of the organic growing is you don't need to measure pH or EC. That's like not only a time-consuming job that you have to do normally when you are growing a mineral, you also don't need to buy all these equipment that saves you some money. Yeah. Because nature knows everything. Nature has a solution for everything. When you look into the forest, do you see somebody making sure the values of the water is good or not? No, of course not. This is already sorted out by the soil life. So what's also cool about the organic system indeed, when you have a healthy soil life and the right bacteria present in the soil, they will buffer the water. They will make sure that the water is on the right levels of pH or EC for the plant to uptake. And that's also like a super big good selling point of the organics. Like, don't measure EC, don't measure pH. The soil life will provide. So there's also many people that start growing for the first time. They can't believe it, and they will start measuring stuff, and it's just for fun. But the moment when things go wrong is indeed when they measure their water with a pH of 8 or something, and they start like, oh, now I have to bring it down. Wrong. Your soil life will take care of that. Don't worry. Don't panic. It's organic. It applies to everything, really. So
that's really cool. One thing that people have issues with organic farming is soil-borne pests. Now, do you find that this is a major hurdle for the organic movement?
Yeah. This is an ongoing discussion you can have with the mineral grower as well. Let's say I'm not fan of pesticides, of course not, and nobody is should be, of course nobody. The ideal world that we shouldn't have to use them, but I can imagine even in Australia, for sure over there with that crazy heat, you need them. You need them for sure, because also with so many other animals over there. What I try to do, it's maybe a little bit contradicting with my organic heart, but sometimes you have to do things you don't like. That's like when I have my clone ready, it has roots and it's ready for the transplantation to the smaller half liter, like the 0.25 liter pot. I just buy the strongest venom I can have and just submerge them once. Mm-hmm. Repot them, and then let them grow. And of course, what I try to do is make sure your grow room is super clean. Clean it with alcohol. Clean it with bleach. You make sure the pests don't have a chance. And I noticed when I submerge them completely, when they are small, like the plants are most attackable by pests is when they are young or when they are not really vital. So I have the idea when I have them submerged with the venom, make sure they grow fast, put some boom boom spray on them, nice amount of light. When they are clean, you can just continue growing until the end. When they are colonized by a little pest again, I just spray once with venom once more, and then it should be okay. And then you can grow pest free until the end. And if there are some little animals on your plant, again, don't panic, it's organic. Just don't make sure they make webs when it's spider mites, and the other problems you have most of the times won't be that hard that you don't have a smokable product. It's another story when you want to sell your product, of course, but when it's for personal use, most of the animals will crawl out the moment you cut your plant and hang them upside down. These animals want a live plant to thrive or to keep on living. So the moment you harvest your plant, most of the little creepy crawlers crawl out.
Do you recommend the use of diatomaceous earth as a soil cover for fungus gnats and things like this?
Fungus gnats?
Or scarab fly?
Oh, this sounds interesting.
Scarab fly?
Which one?
Scarab flies.
Like natural predators.
Yes, yes.
You mean?
Yeah.
That's very good. Only natural predators.
I was the initial thing I was referring to was diatomaceous earth. So it's like a white. I believe it's an expanded sand. Is that correct? I don't know exactly how it's made. It's an expanded mineral, and it's like a white granule, similar to like a kitty litter, like a cat litter, in appearance. Okay. And people use it as a top dress on their soil. And the theory being that
is it just to protect the rhizosphere, let's say?
No, well, it does both. So when the fungus gnats, will infest your soil and lay larvae, and then the larvae will feed by your root zone, and it'll damage your roots. So the concept being that the diatomaceous earth on a microscopic level is very sharp. And when these insects crawl through the diatomaceous earth, it cuts their exoskeleton, and it effectively kills them on the way in. So are you guys using that actively over there, or is that not used currently?
No, this is, for me, this is a new one, and it sounds interesting. Sounds like a cool thing to top dress with. But I can also imagine this is more for Australia outdoor growing, right? Or does this being happen indoors as well?
Indoors for soil and cocoa as well. These flies can be quite an issue for us, that's for sure, yeah.
Oh yeah, cocoa is, by the way, also a little thing I want to get off my heart. Like cocoa, not really organic and not really sustainable. When you want to grow organic, you really have to grow with soil, for sure with biotopes product, because the bacteria and microorganisms are just, their natural habitat is soil. Besides that, cocoa's the bacteria don't work as efficient in cocoa. In Europe, then, cocoa has to be get sent from India and very far places. So this is totally not sustainable. That this soil that you can find around your corner everywhere, you need to be get brought from an oil tanker from India to Holland. I think, no, man, guys, come on, this shouldn't be needed. But yeah, this is how the world works in a strange way. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, so getting back onto the beneficials, you touched on beneficial predators, so natural beneficial predators. I don't think we've covered that in any of our podcast episodes as of yet. So do you want to tell our listeners what we mean when we say beneficial predators?
Yeah. This is the more responsible way to protect your crop, let's say. Now many companies in Holland are starting to discover more and more natural predators for pests and diseases. It has, of course, many the big beneficial benefit from this is now you don't need to spray harmful sprays on your crop that you will consume. You know, so that's better for plant and for human. The other cool thing is, yeah, you're working in a much more organic way. Yeah, so you're using nature to keep out the bad guys. Only the other thing I've noticed that's very important when you are using natural predators, you need to be smart. Or you need to know which predator to use. Because, for example, a friend of mine, he had spider mites. And he said, yeah, let's order some of these natural predators. And he ordered for like 200, 300 euros natural predators. And he gets it's really cool. It gets just sent by the post, and it's in a small package, so it can be sent to your house quite direct with no postman, so that they can die, you know, because they can die quite fast if they don't not if they get they get lost by the post, you know. And but he ordered the wrong predator, so yeah, ended up he had like a nice tent with nice flowers. He has some pests, so he thought, fuck, let's order some natural predators. The only thing he did was just add more little critters to his crop. So this was not really a success. You really have to do your research well, that you buy the right predator for the right enemy. How you call it? The right pest, let's say. Yeah. Or else you just end up, you're worsening your situation, let's say. So do your research.
That's a good tip. You were talking about when you repot, or when you increase your pot size and you repot, sometimes you'll soak your root zone in a drench. And then you mentioned that you could give it a spray of Boom Boom Spray afterwards. Now, this is one of your products. Now, tell us about Boom Boom Spray.
Boom Boom Spray is one of our favorite new products. It's also a cool product, one of the only products you can actually use when you are a mineral grower as well. So if you're a mineral grower and listening and you're thinking about, oh, I want to do something organic, but your plants are already growing, you can at least use the Boom Boom Spray. And what's cool about the Boom Boom Spray, it's actually a plant extract. So this is also our only vegan product. It's plant-based. And because it's plant-based, the plant can uptake it much, much more faster. Besides that it's plant-based, it contains lots of amino acids and peptides. Peptides, I don't know exactly what they are, but amino acids, I do know that will just make sure the plant is more vital. And what also happens with the amino acids, it would just make the cellular structure stronger. So the cells of the plant will actually get stronger. What's the benefit of this? When you get pests, the pest has a harder time munching on the plant. So I'm not saying this product will kill or make sure the pest stays away, but it gives them a harder time. And what's also very good about the product, it contains a lot of nitrogen, stimulating the growth a lot. And when you have mothers or when you make clones, when you spray this boom boom spray on the plants, they will have like a little buffer of nitrogen that will help them root faster or make sure they develop more branches and thicker stems as well. So yeah, this boom boom spray, it helps a lot in the growth stage for sure.
Very cool. Now, you mentioned the third step of when you set up your system, you would put on some Orgatrex, which you did say is molasses based. A lot of products out there these days are molasses based. What's the benefits of molasses? Can you tell our listener why we feed our plant or feed our soil molasses in organic farming? What the benefits are?
The benefits is that there is another organic material available for your bacteria. So again, when you look at the organic growing, the idea is that you make sure there are different bacteria and there is enough organic material for them to choose from to eat. And the molasses is just one of the that's high on the menu for the bacteria that they like. They like the sugars. They like the sugars a lot. It helps them multiply better, and it helps for the rest of the soil life having more sugars available. Also, for example, when you're growing wheat, the last 2 weeks of the flowering is the moment that the plant is and soil life is craving for sugars to produce weight. So that's why it's important at the end, at the Orgatrex, quite a bit, because it's pure sugars that will help that and it's pure sugars and they need it at that moment. So that's why it's very handy to use the Orgatrex.
Yeah, no, that's cool. We talk about compost teas and people are implementing molasses into basically buckets of water, adding compost and brewing it basically with air.
Yeah.
I just want to talk about the methods of doing this and what is the most effective or the best way to do it and, how often you should implement it in your garden.
Yeah, cool. The compost tea is a whole product on itself. You can go totally mental on if you want. You can go compost teas alone. You can go compost teas only in the flowering. We have a product that's a compost tea for the flowering specialized. But I know guys that have strategies of using compost tea from the beginning to start. What's the idea of the compost tea? You're actually making a brew of bacteria that will work as a bomb, let's say. You brew something, and the moment you have added like 1,000 bacteria to the water, you are adding some of the Orgatrex and some of the Bactrex, some extra sugars. Also, I forget to mention the Bactrex also contains another kind of sugar, helping the trichodermas thrive better as well. So we have two products containing quite a high amount of sugar, helping the plants to fatten up really good. What the compost tea will do is, the same as what happens in the soil, only it will happen in the water. And the bacteria multiply faster, not only because they are in the water, but because they are fed with air. The compost tea has to be bubbled with air, and the air helps the bacteria multiply a lot. And you can imagine the more bacteria present in the water that will end up in the soil will mean more production of bacteria poop, let's say, that the plant can uptake. We advise from the third week of flowering, start adding the compost tea and then repeat it every week. And with the compost tea, the cool thing about this, you can make the concentration to your likings. So if you are seeing you have really big plants with many flowers, you don't need to be scared to up the concentration like by by 50% of what is recommended on the schedule. It will only help a lot. Also, since when we were discovering the compost tea and when we were testing it to make it a real product, we got convinced by it because we really had harvested by 10 or 15% more yield than compared to without. So it's really, really a good booster. It's a little bit time consuming, the preparation and the brewing, and you need some space to have it brewing. So some growers are a little bit scared of it and don't really use it. And for them, we made a product, instant to use booster. Let's say that's the BOPK 558. And yeah, that's just instant to use. What I always say to the growers, like, if you're a freak and if you really love your plants and you really go the extra mile, then you use the compost tea. And if you are a cash grower, then you use the BOPK.
What's the smell like from the tea when it's brewing, when you've got it bubbling away?
Yeah, it's funny. The tea, because it's actually a shit tea, literally a shit tea. And it's... And it smells really, really good for a shit tea. So it has to be like a little bit fresh. It has to smell a bit fresh and a bit like, yeah, like as if you smell soil. It shouldn't be smelling like shit, but it is, you know?
Yeah, so your product that is the compost tea, you call it PK Booster. That's a dry product that you add to water, isn't it?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, okay.
And it's a dry product that you turn into a liquid product. So that's also cool. We give the people the chance or the experience to make their own fertilizer, let's say, or their own product. That's also a little bit the idea.
So with the product being dry, does that mean that you have more stability in your bacteria colonies? So you have more of an idea of what the population is of that bacteria as opposed to releasing a liquid compost tea that's maybe concentrated.
I haven't even looked like it in this way, but yeah, that makes totally sense. Of course, yeah, because then it's you can control how much it is. You know how much it is.
Yeah.
And in the liquid, it's just guessing, of course.
Yeah.
It is cool because the other day I got the question: how much does a bacteria weigh? I don't know. But
wow.
This is an Australian question, actually, because we want to register our product in Australia, and this is one of the questions we got from your beloved the Ministry of
Agriculture.
I don't remember. Yeah, somebody else is doing it, but it was a funny moment in the office that they wanted to know how much a bacteria weighs.
Yeah, they take their bioconservation laws very seriously here in Australia, and that's a word to anybody that wants to ship anything into Australia that you shouldn't. They really check it out. Very good.
So you guys, do you have some similar Biotev's kind of products over there?
I would say there's nothing really like your lineup. No, there's some dry soil amendments out there. There are a few companies offering organic dry amendments, that's for sure. And there probably are a couple that have a small lineup similar to yours, but smaller. There's less products on the list. It's less comprehensive. As far as the tablet side of things, as far as an organic tablet, I'm unaware of anything out there in Australia. Please message us on Instagram or something if you're listening and you know of a product in Australia that is similar. But I think
we're working on it. Be patient. Biotev's comes to Australia real fast.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's good to know you're working on it, and it's good to know that you've got hopefully a distributor looking to bring your product in, because I think it's the sort of product that could thrive in Australia. I think the organic thing is definitely growing here. There's more buzz about it. And I just, as I said at the start of the podcast, I think it's a really nice, easy-to-use system that's quite comprehensive. And I think the results that it provides stack up. They definitely stack up. And if you are in a legal state that you can cultivate, perhaps check out Dutch Passion's webpage, and you can see a whole lot of grows with time lapse footage.
Yeah, and Biotev's, I think.
Yeah, almost all of those are utilizing Biotev's as their nutriment regime. So certainly jump on and have a look at that.
Can I say one thing that's also very important?
Of course you can.
Also try the Biotev's because the flower will just taste so pure. Also the essence of Biotev's is making sure the essential terpenes, or the terpenes that the variety wants to speak, will speak.
Yeah, that's
like
beautiful.
When you're growing mineral, sometimes the terpenes or the flavors get depressed or get pressed mm-hmm. away. And with the organic yeah. growing, this would just really accentuate the flavors and terpenes and the smoke. If you have the biotypes under control, white ash guaranteed.
Yeah,
what you
can't that's
say
good.
With other things.
That's really so, good. Yeah, yeah, I've got that written right here in front of me. I wanted to mention the flavor aspect of the organic growing with you because to me, the organic product, it tastes better. I certainly feel like I notice it when I'm consuming in a legal setting. so, yeah, no, I definitely appreciate that the product does, there's a difference there, there's no doubt. What do you think, Adam?
I mean, I couldn't say. I've never been to Amsterdam, so
yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah, no, very cool. Now you also have some products called Gorilla Tabs. Well, what's the go? How are these? Yeah. Are these effectively bio tabs, or are they in any way different to bio tabs?
They're similar. They're just half the weight. And they contain a little bit more bacteria because the idea is that that you grow outdoors with these tablets. And they contain less bacteria. They contain less bacteria because the idea is when you grow in the mother soil, if in the soil direct, there is these bacteria already present. So we don't want you to we don't put them in the tab when they are already present in the soil. Let's say.
Yeah. Okay. So these are targeted at people growing directly in the ground, not in pots. Outdoors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Roger
yeah.
that. That's very cool.
Yeah. Can I also do some self promotion if you might? Don't
Keys,
mind.
You can give yourself a shameless plug, mate. That's not a problem.
Awesome. No, I've been working like half a year on this new project, and I think it's cool to tell on the podcast. It's a YouTube channel that I'm working on. It's awesome. Called the High Flyer .420. And I have released now 6 episodes. We have an episode about how to make hash, how to make ice water hash, how to make rosin. We have visited Italy, a legal CBD grow. And I have been doing an episode about the history of cannabis in Holland. The first episode is released yesterday, and 3 other episodes will follow very soon. That will go about the history of cannabis in Holland, about coffee shops, about seed companies, and about the law. About the cannabis law in Holland.
That's
so
really
if you
cool.
guys are yeah. finished with the listening to this podcast, maybe check out some YouTube smoking shit.
No, that's really cool. When we're over there, we'd love to catch up with you and do some recording together, actually, on a project, if you'd be keen.
Fucking sounds like a very fun idea, because I'm having fun, guys.
Yeah, man.
I wanted to smoke, guys. It's a bit strange that we're not watching.
Yeah, it's a bit different. Yeah, on the other side of the world, and but it's very cool. Now there's a little bit of background to you as well. There's you're associated with the Super Sativa Seed Company as well. So perhaps for another episode, we hope you would like to come back.
Man,
it sounds like you'd be keen. But just quickly, can we touch on what the Super Sativa Seed Club is? And you know, you mentioned flying high. So is there some sort of relationship between the names there?
Yeah, that's short about the Super Sativa Seed Club. Is actually one of the first seed companies that started, and it's not by me, of course, because I'm way too young. It's my dad. My dad started it in 1985, and he was one of the first guys, together with Neville, that were shipping seeds over the world, let's say. So they spread it, all the seeds at the moment. That was really a bit of a sketchy time. In America, the war on drugs was going on. The other side, the weed was not very known, so that was like everybody had a free game more or less, and they were sending seeds all over the world, and we have some genetics preserved from that time still in our collection, and we have relaunched the Super Sativa Seed Club like 1 or 2 years ago, some indeed with some of these old genetics as well, but and we have some new genetics as well, and we have to say, since we have relaunched, we get so much good feedback. It's just amazing. It's so inspiring and so cool that to see that people now still know what my dad has done back in the day, every day I get more respect for my dad. And imagining that they were so far with the breeding and with the grow techniques already back then.
Yeah,
it's just cool that that's still continuing now. And I feel honored being a part of it. And I really do my best to make sure the quality is there where it should be, you know. So that's what we're all about, you know. Quality, taste, and fun.
That's awesome. You must have heard of your father many a story. So maybe when you do come back, we can talk about those historical times back when the war on drugs was at its peak and some of the sketchy things that your father had to deal with. And maybe we could try and get the listener empathizing with those really, I guess,
we're still
really
doing
early
shit
times.
Every day, man.
Oh, that's for sure. But it is. It sounds like such a fascinating part of Dutch cannabis history. That period there in the 70s, 80s sort of thing when, things, nobody had done it before. So everybody was just sort of gauging what they get in trouble for. We'd love to get you back for a chat.
Porter always on the edge. It's a fun day when I listened to him. But I have to say, the way they acted back then has really had influence on how we act right now, right?
So absolutely.
Hats off to these guys.
Yeah, it's the pioneers.
Because then we are where we are now. Exactly.
Keith, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you, mate. It's been awesome. And I really look forward to our next chat. Yeah. So thank you very much for joining
us. For sure.
It's been a pleasure, man.
Yeah, also had lots of fun, guys.
Yeah, no, it's been really cool. Thank you very much, mate. You take care.
Yes, man. Keep on blazing.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Cantar. Any guest views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the guests and not necessarily those of the hosts. Cantar strongly suggests listeners research local, state, and federal laws and regulations before conducting any cannabis-related activity.